Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Great interest in this topic, too. The name of the book, The Breakaway, Inside Story of the Wirtz Family and the Chicago Blackhawks. Rocky Wirtz, thank you so much for joining us.
Steve, nice talking to you.
And in fact, at 2:30, I go away because the Chicago Blackhawks pregame show as the Blackhawks play the Avalanche today. First of all, I want to say I'm nervous. I really am. I grew up, you know, there's a TV commercial that you guys had running for a while, and it had a transistor radio. Yes, the thing, a little radio, ran on batteries. And what I did is when they expanded to six teams was about that point in time, and it included six more teams, the West Coast teams, Oakland Seals, Los Angeles Kings at the time. And when the team went on the road, it was past my bedtime. But I would listen with the transistor radio under my pillow to Lloyd Pettit. I would listen religiously to all of the Chicago Blackhawk games. I was that kid in those commercials, Rocky Wirtz. All I knew of the ownership of the Blackhawks was whatever I might read in the newspapers and getting the annual yearbook, which I purchased. And it had William Wirtz's picture in it. It had Arthur Wirtz's picture in it. They looked nice enough. They were pictures of guys. That's all that I knew. And then you wrote this book here that says, here's the truth about it, was what it was really like. And you know what? My first question for you is, you kind of take us behind the curtain and you show that these guys, your father, your grandfather, and other family members, including yourself, all human beings.
Well, you know, Brian Smith, who I worked with on, and Brian's author, and I worked with him on the book, came several times and wanted to write a book. And so in 2010, 13, and 15, the years that the Hawks had won the Stanley Cup. So finally I said, I agreed to do it if 100% of the proceeds would go to the Blackhawk Foundation, which they do, and we underwrite any direct costs. And we had to find a publisher, and that was Northwestern Press. And I said, it cannot be a puff piece. It has to be true. I said, no one wants to read about a well-to-do family, how great they are, and pat them all on the back. I said, you know, and I don't want to, you know, write anything that's just a hockey book. I said, I think what it is, people like stories, and people can relate to things that you know, happens in everyone's family. So it's a story about the Wirtz family that happens to own a hockey team.
Well, I want to jump into it just at a random point. There were so many surprises in the book. One surprise is the relationship that your grandfather, Arthur Wirtz, who began it all, had with the boxing profession, and over time with one particular boxer named Rocky Marciano, a bit before my time, but I know who this guy was. And there are some who thought when Rocky Wirtz came along, that you were named after that Rocky because of the close relationship. So my question is, why have a relationship with all these boxers? What was that all about? And who were you really named after?
Well, we had my grandfather was in the real estate business, and he bought the building. So at one time, he owned the old Madison Square Garden, Detroit Olympia, Chicago Stadium, and then St. Louis Arena with the Norris family. And so we promoted every championship or most every fight from 46 to 1959, and they would go in these different arenas. And then, you know, ultimately working up to Madison Square Garden for the championship and different weight belts. So when I was born, Rocky Marciano thought I was named after him. But really what I was named after is my grandmother, Catherine, and her last name was Rockwell. My mom said if she ever had a son, she's going to call him Rocky. My first name is William, like my father. And they thought, well, you get older, you know, you can change your name and go by Bill. But once you're named Rocky, you can never go back to anything else.
Well, you are a Rocky. I mean, you really are. Because and you're like the Rocky in the movie. There's a soft side to you. But I'll tell you, when you took over the Blackhawks, you said, this has to be done. And you looked at your father. This is your father. And you guys had, both of you, a rather complex relationship. We're not going to be able to, I mean, there's no time to talk about it all now, but can you touch on the fact that when you took over and some in your family didn't want you to take over the Blackhawks, but when you did, that you said, you know what, there have got to be some changes here?
Well, you have to, you know, if you put the company, and my grandfather always taught me, you put the company first, and you do what you think is right. And the biggest mistake that I find other many executives have is they don't want to make a decision. They want to sit back, because if you don't make a decision, technically you're never wrong. So you just have to go in and say what I thought was going to be right. We had to make some changes. Obviously, the first thing was we had to put games on TV.
Yes,
as you said, you've grown up. I'm 67. Of those, when my grandpa was alive, he wouldn't even have the first period on the radio. So when I was growing up, like you, I had to wait till about 8 o'clock to find out what the score of the game was, and it would always start at the beginning of the second period because he thought, like my father, that if you gave something for free, people wouldn't come and pay for it.
And in fact, you have proved to be absolutely right. But it's not only the game itself, the Blackhawk game itself, but it's what the team is doing and the way the team treats the fans. And you turned everything around.
Well, you know, you can't forget the players have been very, very good. The Chicago fans are the greatest. But you know, the nice thing is you want to give back. And so, you know, business is about relationships. You have to have a relationship with the fans, which are your customers, with your employees, which are your players. With the press writes about you and talks about you every day, and ultimately with the corporate community. At one time, we were at war with all those people.
Yeah, and I want to talk about that war a little bit. I want to talk about how you changed all that. I want to talk about the Blackhawks, who play the Avalanche in about, 45 minutes or so. Pre-game starts here at WGN in just 15 minutes. We are talking with Rocky Wirtz, who brought hockey back to Chicago in a way. He really did. Ouch! I just pinched myself because I'm talking to Rocky Wirtz. Let me tell you a behind-the-scenes story. Actually, let me read this so they don't yell at me for reading it late. But I do want to tell you a Rocky Wirtz behind-the-scenes story. And I know several of them, and I don't even know the guy that well. I'll tell you in a moment. Do you want your basement to be dry most of the time? Of course not. You want it to be dry all the time. Well, PermaSeal is not the company for you if you're settling for half the time. PermaSeal hears story after story of homeowners who say their basement only leaks when it rains. Well, you don't want your living room or your bedroom getting wet, do you? Of course not. So then why settle with a wet basement some of the time? For over 40 years, PermaSeal and their team believe that your basement should be dry, must be dry, no matter how hard it rains. That's right. You can have a permanently dry basement. Just give them a call, 1-800-421-SEAL, 1-800-421-SEAL. They offer a free estimate, no haggle pricing. A price assurance guarantee is there for you, so you can be rest assured that you're getting the very best value. Roy Spencer started PermaSeal back in 1979. It's still a local Chicagoland family business, doing the right thing and standing behind their work. Your basement is already dry most of the time. But if you want your basement dry all of the time, you know who to call. PermaSeal, 1-800-421-SEAL. 800-421-7325 or permaseal.net. It is 217 on WGN. Make Sundays your official night to tour the city. Watch Chicago's best at 10 p.m. Then stick around for the latest in shopping, entertainment, and events on See Chicago at 10:30 p.m. on WGN TV. So here, I thought as I was reading this of another Rocky Wirtz story. So let me tell you very quickly these stories. And this is typical of what this guy is that I know. And I don't even know him that well. My wife is at a restaurant downtown eating with a girlfriend. And she recognizes Rocky Wirtz, goes up to Rocky Wirtz, says hello, says, I think you know my husband because he's talked to you about beagles before. And he says, yeah, I think I do remember him. And they go about, they have a chit chat. She goes back to her table with her girlfriend. And the check never comes because Rocky Wirtz pays for lunch for my wife and her girlfriend. The other story is about, in fact, the family, the Wirtz's family, the Rocky Wirtz family, commitment to companion animals and to beagles in particular. And let me apologize to you, Rocky Wirtz. I know the National Dog Show presented by Purina was yesterday, and I am so sorry, but a beagle did not win the dog show.
Well, maybe when the Westminster Dog Show comes along in February, they'll have a second chance.
Actually, Lizzie, you know who I'm talking about, right?
Sure, my daughter.
Yes, yes. So, and she was a sweet, sweet, sweet person. And she calls me, I don't know, was it 2 years ago, and says, you've got to come to this hockey game because I am going to put you in these seats. So I get to the game, and I don't really know why. I'm a hockey fan, so I'm thrilled to go. And I sit down, and I turn to the right of me. Well, these seats are right next to a seat that a beagle is sitting in watching the game. And it was so funny. I don't know where you were but
it was Miss P, the Westminster Dog
Show
winner.
Yes. And Miss P is following the puck, going back and forth and back. Her eyes literally go back and forth and back and forth following the hockey puck, which was funny.
We have two of our offspring, a boy and a girl, Benito and Beatrice.
Well, you do know if you have any dog questions, I'm always here for you. You've always been there for Chicago since you've come through and have said, you know what, my dad hasn't exactly done right. How hard was it for you to say that and then to take action that you knew your father would have been so upset about?
Well, I love my father, but many times just didn't like him. So it's a family business. Anyone that's listening that's in the family business knows there's trials and tribulations, and there's dysfunction in every family. And I think people can relate to that. And if someone tells you they don't have any dysfunction somewhere in their family and somewhere, I think you know they're lying. So it just shows really how you overcome adversity in a family and move on.
Well, and you, in fact, that's what this book is really about in a nutshell. It also could have been a reality show because you have all these different characters that Brian Smith, the author of the book who wrote it, puts together so well. So it's as if after reading the book, I never met your dad. I certainly never met your grandfather, but it's as if I knew them. That is how well he puts it together, and he does it in a way that you just kind of talked about. I mean, they do all these amazing things throughout their life, but like all of us, flawed human beings. And toward the end of his life, your father was not especially well-liked by Chicago Blackhawk fans or the media in Chicago, and arguably for good reason, perhaps.
When they had the moment of silence, and that's the first chapter in the book, you had to be there to realize how loud the boos were, and it was really embarrassing. And I tried to explain that to my brother and my sisters, that you do not want to do this, have a moment of silence for Dad, because you're not going to like the reaction. And they were complete. They were. It's like they were shocked, and the boos got louder and louder and louder. And I've never known anyone ever to get booed in a moment of silence. Until it was my father.
Yeah, well, maybe a public official of some type, I don't know. But yeah, no, I understand what you're saying, and you were able to predict that that was going to happen. What do you think made it so that you were able to look from the outside in? Because in defense of your siblings, when you're in it, when you're involved in something, and you're not necessarily seeing it from the fans' perspective, it can be difficult to completely comprehend. You were able to take yourself out of that family group, if you will, and say, I understand what the problem is here. How are you able to do that?
Well, you just had to observe and realize what people were, you know, what they were thinking and doing. And you can't, you know, let your emotions control your better judgment. And if that's going to happen, you know what's going to happen. But I think you just have to realize, I mean, you can't do the ostrich effect by putting your head in the sand and not thinking anything's around you, or the emperor doesn't have his clothes on. I mean, you knew it was going to happen, and that's fine. But you just try not to put yourself in an embarrassing position.
I think also it's who you were at the time, where you weren't involved with the organization in quite the same way that your siblings were, certainly your father, and you were able, and you did walk along the concourse at the United Center and say, and talk to folks. As they got a hot dog, you got a hot dog, and you actually talked to people.
Well, people spend a lot of money to come in to the United Center, so why shouldn't you be nice to your guests? I mean, they're taking time out of their busy schedules, and you know the time you not only watching the game, but you got to get there and get home and everything. So if they're good enough to come in, why shouldn't we one thank them for coming in and thank them for following the team and thank them for being there and just being around, and not I sit with the in section 119 and I'm not closet away, and they say, well, what happens if someone comes up and doesn't agree with you? I say, well, you talk to them like anything else. Is it, if you're at a restaurant, you all want to know who the owner is, and you want to talk to them. You don't want to always have to have the owner in the kitchen. You never even know who that person is.
Well, and I know by experience you do that, and people do come up and talk to you even now throughout the game. One of the first things you did was go to the Chicago Cubs and say, there's a guy I know there, and you went to that guy and said, I think you'd be right for hockey. John McDonough, who we're talking about, said, what? At first, he wasn't expecting such an offer, was he?
Well, no, he had a good job, and you think that he was president of Chicago Cubs, major league baseball team at that time, to be president of the Blackhawks. I think John said he talked to some of his friends, and they said, "Are you crazy?" One thing's for sure, John believed that I told him that we hadn't done too well in the standings at that time, and this was in 2007, and I said, John, we're going to win this thing. I didn't dream we'd win it three times, but I said, before next time I hang up, and retire, I said, we're going to win this thing, and he believed me. I said, and our goal is to win this Stanley Cup. We have a flat organization, and we're going to put all the resources and time and effort, and I'll support you in 110% of the way, and you're going to run the club, and I'll be here to assist you in any way that's possible.
All right, you're a business guy. We're running out of time, so here's a simple question. What is, given today, what the Blackhawks are doing or not doing at times, what is your mission statement?
To win the Stanley Cup.
And it's that simple, isn't it?
And everyone has to be part of it, from the person answering the phone to the captain of the team to everyone. It takes a whole total organization to win the cup, and that's it. That we have one goal, and that's to win the cup.
One goal. I've heard that expression before, and I will tell you, if I had to do it all over, maybe I'd start with you at a younger age. I could learn a lot about life as well as business, but I like what I said first, a lot about life. Rocky Wirtz, thank you so much.
Well, thank you for having me. Appreciate it.
Again, the name of the book is called The Breakaway, and I didn't know that till now. A lot of all the proceeds go to Blackhawk Charities, which somehow does not surprise me. I don't have time to read all the texts. I'll just read one of them, but they're all like this. My daughter and I sat in section 110 4 years ago when my daughter wrote a letter to Rocky Wirtz asking if the Blackhawks would have an epilepsy awareness night. It happened, and he even gave us seats in a section. And I can't read them all. There are too many texts just like that. And that's the Rocky Wirtz I know. And as I say, I don't even know him that well.